Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Joe Parker, the legendary comedian and nice guy. He loves Australians. He's here with me tonight, Men at Work. We're just discussing off-air about 80s music and, how good it was produced. It was more of a fashion thing anyway, but you listen to those songs now and they still sound good, eh?
Absolutely. I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that the music well produced, and also, you know, the words, the songs had words that you could listen to and relate to, even though some of them were, you know, fantasy stories and all that, but great music from the 80s.
Right. Now you are in matric. Did you enjoy school? As you say, I mean, you studied hard, you did a bit of sport and whatever. Now, the question I ask all my guests as well, were you bullied at school or did you bully the other kids?
No. I didn't get bullied, and because I was kind of that middle size, you know, didn't get bullied, didn't bully. Even when I was a prefect in primary school, did not take advantage of the fact that I was a prefect. In high school, when you in high school at DHS, it was standard 7 or grade 9, which where it started, where most high school started in standard 6. You had to fag, you know, the prefects would get you doing kind of trivial and you know random stuff. Mm-hmm. But in terms of being bullied, no, I never got bullied. I didn't play the right sport. I was very into soccer. So I used to play what they call Lost League rugby on a Friday afternoon. You had to play sport. Played a bit of cricket, but never played sport for high school.
And you're a Man United fan, I heard.
Yeah.
You guys are doing well for a change.
Well, now we're coming back, yeah. And but by the way, I'm not a Man United supporter lately. Mm. I've been supporting since way, way back, in the 60s, you know. So I didn't start supporting like a lot of the guys did when they started doing well. I've been a supporter. Supported in the first game I watched them play, they lost at QPR. In London in 1975, bought my first scarf. They actually lost. It was the year they got promoted from the second division. So I'm I've enjoyed them. I was fanatical. Now I'm pretty cool about it because we won quite a lot, and I'm very chilled about it. I don't have to watch.
No, they are winners, and after Fergie left, what a legend as well. They'll pick it up again, and it's about the players at the end of the day, you know, and the fans. They expect so much. But we're going to talk about while you were at school, were you a funny guy? Did you, obviously at that stage there wasn't really comedians around or anything that we knew of because, I mean, on television and stuff like that in this country, we never got the Monty Pythons and stuff. But at school, were you a funny guy or not?
A bit of a smart ass, in and out of mild trouble, you know, for being facetious and making jokes and all that type of thing. But I did not think of myself as a clown. Mm-hmm. I think the teachers probably thought, you know, that I was a bit maybe over exuberant. And probably in high school, you know, once I got in high school, I think I realized that I kind of didn't like the structure of everything. You know, I mean, I knew I had to do it, but, you know, I always try to make light of it. So I'd crack jokes and get into trouble for that. But not nothing hectic, you know, just say the wrong thing at the right time, make the class laugh, and then get censured for it, you know.
Were you ever scared to stand in front of the class and read something or poetry or not at all?
No.
Most kids are, you know.
Yeah. No, I never had a problem reading or being asked to go to the blackboard and write stuff on the board. Never had a problem with that. Not because I thought I was overconfident, but I think when I was younger – it was quite exciting for me to be able to be picked on, to be highlighted and said, look, you get up there and do that. And I said, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And any of the school teachers, I mean, obviously, maybe some of them aren't around anymore, but that stood out for you, that meant something, you know, that educated you in a nice way and you became friends with, and you know, that one-on-one conversation. There must be a couple that stood out.
Nobody that I bonded with to the extent that we could say, you know, have a beer with after I left high school. I do remember my Afrikaans teacher in high school was a guy called Mr. Ullemann, who was of German descent, who was nobody liked him. But my Afrikaans was really bad. And we got him in standard 8 or grade 10. And because of the fact that he was so strict, my Afrikaans really improved because I was, you know, I was really kind of weary of the guy. Everyone said his father was in the Gestapo. You know, it was that sort of guy. So I remember him, and really I got through matric because my dad put me in the boarding establishment for the last term of matric. So in other words, you know, I had to go to prep, I had to go SWAT, and I got a university exemption matric pass, but obviously didn't go to university. But, you know, that was what got me through eventually.
Your favorite subject?
Probably geography. I really enjoyed geography. And probably maths as well. Quite enjoyed that.
Maths? Yeah.
Most people don't struggle with that, yeah.
Do you use maths now?
We use maths. Everybody uses it all the time without realizing it. With everything that you do, there's always a logic to stuff, you know. You know, and I look at my kids, and they've done maths now, which I could never fathom, you know, because our stuff was a lot easier then. But all my, for some reason or other, genetically, all my children are science and maths. Absolutely, they can do it, eh? And never had to ask me, but it seems like it's something genetic about it, you know, that you either get it or you don't. And they got it quite early.
So you left. Did you know about, say, you know, matric? You know, because a lot of kids, you go like, "Hey, I don't know what I want to do." You know, when I leave school, did you have the option to go to the army or not?
I had to go to the army.
Oh, you had to.
Well, let me explain. I mean, when I was in high school, we used to do what they did. It was called a CUDA profile, where they would tell you what you should be looking at doing at university, and because I felt that I was going to get a matric exemption. They said I should have been a metallurgist or what was the other thing, a mining engineer. And I just couldn't see that, eh? Just not see that at all. And what I eventually did when I left matric, I went to join the Merchant Navy. Went to college for a year, and I was a chief close on 3 years. I would, in hindsight, I think I would have quite enjoyed going to varsity. Not sure exactly what I would have done. In hindsight, perhaps something like psychology or, you know, something interesting where you've got to do with people. But at that time, it was never an option, you know, because of my circumstances then. There was no support system, really. That it was just such a good option to go and join the Merchant Navy.
Anything funny that happened there while you spent 3 years there? There must be a good story.
Well, one of the stories which I tell people is that, you know, everybody's got this little fantasy about putting a pie in somebody's face. And I tell you what I did on a ship that we were in Luanda in Angola at the time, and we had a cocktail party on the ship for the South African ambassador. And there was another ship in port at the same time, and all the crew were there, and right in the middle of this buffet table was this huge cream cake. And after a few drinks, I just saw this cream cake in the chief engineer's face, the guy from the other ship, and I put it in his face. And it was just one of those, it was like a cartoon, because it landed in his face, and he blinked, and the two bits of cake fell out of his eyes, and he's just this white face with two holes. And I just hot-footed it down to my cabin. He didn't know where I was living, locked the cabin, and I didn't surface, and I had to go and apologize the next day. So that's sort of funny thing. Yeah. But we had a lot of fun doing other stuff, which I can't really talk about here.
Can you imagine having selfies in those days? That would have been funny, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
But those 3 years you spent there, was it life-changing for you? Did you learn a lot about life? Did you changed you as a human being, or maybe not? Did it make you stronger, more positive, you know?
Yeah, I think it got me out of what I consider to be maybe a difficult situation while I was at school. You know, I was able to have a lot of time to reflect, because I spent a lot of time up on the bridge at all hours of the night, you know, looking at stars and seeing some amazing things, you know, like meteorites flying over the, you know, through the universe, and things like plankton in the sea, like a sea. Like 10 miles of fluorescent in the sea, you know, and seeing things like giant mantas coming out of the sea and splashing and traveling to interesting places. I mean, we had 10 days in Mauritius every 6 weeks for about 10 months. Wow. You know, that was before Mauritius was what it was now, but it was magnificent, you know, just really very, very, a lot of time for introspection, very, very peaceful, very enjoyable. And, you know, we had some really interesting things that happened, you know, like just a lot of fun things, you know.
And you never hit an iceberg.
No, not at all. No. And I dropped a bit of ice on the floor while trying to fill a drink. Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep on chatting to you a little later on. Joe Park is here. 37942 at a cost of R1.50. Maybe you saw him live. Maybe you can tell us something he doesn't know about himself, something embarrassing or whatever that happened at a show or whatever. Maybe you grew up with Joe, but you never had the opportunity to say, how's it? Now you have. SMS through, and you know, we'll see what we can do. Maybe some questions you want to ask. We're going to talk about the comedian a little later on, because there are a lot of stand-up comedians in this country, and I want to know about, you know, when you go on that stage and you tell jokes, how to tell jokes. You know, some comedians tell, you know, they got good one-liners, but I love comedians that tell stories like Joe Parker, and I'm going to tell Joe where I saw him for the very first time. But let's play Third World, Try Ja Love. Why the song?
We played it when within the band that I had then at the time, and it was probably the first reggae song that I got involved with the band. You know, I'd been doing quite a lot of kind of you know, standards and pop songs before that, but I really enjoyed it. It was great rhythm, and I kind of one of my sort of entrees into reggae.
Here we go. Let's have a listen to it. Oh, it skipped it. No, it is, yeah, don't worry. Here we go, I found it.
Tennis Club, the Germ, and the Save the Earth Society.
Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda